Just doing it. Okay.
Welcome to Camp Constitution Radio with your host, Hal Shurtleff. The show is heard on WBCQ, The Planet, every Monday and Thursday, 7 o'clock p.m. Eastern Standard Time on Monday and 7:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on Thursdays. That's subject to change. Also, you can pick up our show on Podomatic, Amazon, Spotify, and about a half a dozen other audio platforms, and on our YouTube channel, Camp Constitution. The show is brought to you by Camp Constitution, which, among other things, runs a week-long family camp. Our camp's coming up July 14th to the 19th, and we're expecting another full house. You can learn more about it by our website. We also have a ladies' retreat, which just ended yesterday, but we're going to have a November ladies' retreat, as well as another one, of course, next year. And we have a weekend retreat coming up in the late September. So visit our website, campconstitution.net, for more information. And this show originates, again, out of WBCQ, The Planet, Monticello, Maine, heard all over the world. And we have a guest, a friend of ours, Lillian Tang Williams, or Lily Tang Williams, I should say. And now we first met Lily. She came to our July 4th Independence Day barbecue at our house back in July of 21 with her husband. And we've been in touch ever since. She ran for Congress in 22 unsuccessfully. But we hope that she will be successful this time around. But I do want to point out that Camp Constitution itself does not endorse candidates, but we do endorse freedom and those who promote freedom. So, Lily, welcome to the show.
Well, thank you for having me. That was great. Great introduction.
Well, what prompted us to have you on, I probably would have had you on anyway, but you can talk about it. But just last week, I think it was last week, you were at a debate at Dartmouth College in New Hampshire. And that little, I call him a beta male, who hid during the shooting, and he got some kind of, he's sort of like the American version of Greta Thunberg, you know, uninformed little, but he got some, I guess his parents are leftist activists, so he got some notoriety, David Hogg, Hogg, I think. And it was a 30, 40 second soundbite, and I tried to download it to play it on this, but I can't. But if you go to Lily Tang Williams' YouTube channel, you'll get it. And so, Lily, just first off, give us a little information about yourself and then get into this gun control debate and how you really slammed poor little David.
Well, I was born and grew up in communist China, survived the Mao's Cultural Revolution. When I realized that I could not be happy, free in China, I tried to manage to leave China and come here as a graduate student, 1988. I was about almost 24 years old. So I just thought I come to a free country guaranteed by the constitution. I was not political for 20 years until I woke up one day and spoke pretty good English and I realized the country is changing. So I got involved with politics precisely because Colorado Democrats were pushing for gun control 2013. I lived in Metro Denver there for 21 years. So I got involved and I went there testified in my first time as American citizen to say, why are you trying to disarm me here again like a communist China? And that's when I, you know, realized that that's what they're pushing for. And I wrote an article, Guns Against Tyranny, 13, you know, like 2013, published by National Review. And I took a picture of me holding AR-15, my own AR-15 before the new law become effective to ban magazines, to limit magazines. So I've been fighting this for 11 years. But last Wednesday, I was invited by my friend.
What was the date last
it's
Wednesday?
10th. It's April 10th.
April 10th of,
at the Dartmouth College, hosted by the Political Union, which is a student club, who is for free speech. So they want to debate, you know, on this issue. So I got the ticket with Spike Cohen, who debated David Hogg. And so after the debate, 1 hour, we were allowed to ask questions. So I just went there trying to have, you know, my question answered and then put him on the spot to say, hey, David, I survived communism. Can you guarantee me that the US government will never become a tyrannical government? Actually, he gave me an honest answer. because yeah. professional politicians might lie, but he is a young kid. He said,
"Don't
no,
say
I
that will never
that.
Happen in the United States." That's what. Oh, that would never happen. They laugh about it.
Right. He said, "I'm sorry, I can never guarantee that." So yeah. I say, "Well, I get a little bit passionate," and I said, "The debate on gun control is over. That's what the founding father intended: the guns against tyranny, not for sporting shooting. Protecting yourself against criminals is protecting our liberty against tyranny." So after that, he laughed, it has gone viral. I did go up there to shake hands with him to say, "I'm sorry you had to go through shooting tragedy." But mm-hmm. I said, "Google, Mao's Cultural Revolution, Google, Red Guards. I hope you will get it. I don't want you to be used for politics." But then quickly after that, he went away. He never mentioned about this question, but it just has gone viral. I hope someday he will get it.
So, yeah, I heard about it. I think it was picked up by all kinds of people. And what's great with YouTube and other platforms like Rumble, somebody will take your video and then they'll comment on it. And so a comment video, and we have a lot of these YouTubers will just be all that's all they do is they'll take other videos and comment. And that's how you'll be able to get hundreds of thousands, if not millions of views. And when you said the gun control debate is over, that was beautiful. In other words, you can't promise that we won't become tyrannical, then the debate's over. And that's it. But it's interesting.
That's it. And Charlie Kirk retweeted actually on X, where I'm very active. I gained 13,000 followers on X just from that debate.
Oh, I
13,
believe it.
13,000 followers.
I believe
it.
It
was 2.4 million views right now on X.
How many?
2.4 million views.
That's great. That's probably just beginning. We'll get you more, God willing. I want to point out that there was a book that came out back in the 1990s. It was called Death by Government. It was written by a liberal professor, University of Hawaii, R.J. Rummel. And in the book, he draws a general conclusion. And he said that more people have been killed by governments in the 20th century in peacetime than all of the wars of the 20th century. And he pointed at gun control being, and again, he was a liberal, but there were some honest liberals out there. And he looked at communist China and the killing fields of Cambodia and Nazi Germany and many other genocides, like in Rwanda, where back in the mid-90s, there was something like close to 1 million members of the Tutsis were killed by the Hutus, and all the way around, Hutus. And the UN actually was supposed to be there to help them, and they disarmed them. And then they said, "Oh, we'll give you help." And they stood down, and these people were slaughtered mostly by swords and machetes, not necessarily by guns. And so there's a lot of things that happen around the world that the world is not even aware of. You know, we hear a lot about the what happened in Nazi Germany, and we should hear about it and know about it, learn about it, because Nazi Germany has strict gun control. But you also had it in many other nations. We think of the genocide in Turkey with the Armenians during World War One, right after World War One, anywhere between 1 to 3. In Russia, the forced famines. Russia. They don't even know how many millions of people. But some estimates up to 10, some up to 40 or 50 million. In China, how many people killed in communist China? I mean, it's really hard to say, but well over 20 million. Looks like we lost her. Hope she'll get back on. So yeah, the book by R.J. Rummel. Here we go. Yeah, so we lost you for a few seconds. How many people was it estimated killed in communist China from the Mao's revolution?
It was estimated 40 million to 60 million people starving to death during Mao's mass famine, which is a Great Leap Forward campaign. And I was brainwashed, and still so many Chinese are brainwashed to believe that was caused by 3 years natural disasters. Until I came to America, I learned about the true history and what is the cause of that mass famine. And then 20 million people died, murdered during his Cultural Revolution. So you talk about China alone is like, about 80 million people died. But our young people, though, like David Hogg, they are like just products of American government education. They are not educated well, and they don't know the history. I have been traveling around the country as a professional speaker to educate our students. And I'm on the Speaker Bureau for Victim of Communism and More Foundation. I was constantly shocked how many of our students, even some bright students, good red states, they don't know that much about Mao's Cultural Revolution. You know, their light bulb, their eyes are like light bulbs came on when I present my stories, just tell my stories with my old pictures from China. So there's a serious issue to be raised. Is David Hogg and his generation all being indoctrinated to believe in government, but totally ignorant about history? When people are disarmed, how are they going to fight back? They'll be totally slaved. And he might not understand when you are slaved, when you're disarmed, there's no more crime. It's called a peaceful slavery. I don't any of that. It doesn't matter, peaceful or not.
That's right. That's right. We just celebrate. Actually, today is the 17th, right? 17th. Tomorrow, April 18th, going into the 19th, is the 249th anniversary of the Midnight Ride of Paul Revere and the Battle for Lexington and Concord, where armed Americans confronted the biggest army, the most powerful army of the day, and won the day. And then eventually, after 7 years of, eventually won our liberty, something that could be impossible had the gun control existed. It was interesting. The British came out to Lexington to do two things: arrest Sam Adams and John Hancock, and take all the guns and the powder, and anything that can move cannons, anything with any caissons that can, anything that can move a cannon. And they were handed a really shocking defeat. And we look at, in World War II, the average German was disarmed. And you had to be a Nazi Party member and certain type of standing to have a weapon. And the only time you saw any resistance was in the Warsaw Ghetto. It was towards the end of the war. And I think it was in 44. In fact, the Russians, they were on the outskirts of Warsaw. Or close by, and they stood down. They didn't go on and try to help. They just wanted to let see how many people get killed. But there were some armed Jews, not many, and they were able to put up stiff resistance. We had a friend last spring. He lives in Cape Town, South Africa. 31 years ago, he was sitting in a church of 1,000 people in Cape Town, and four communist terrorists came in and shot the place up. They managed to kill 12 people and wound several dozen before he had a little 38 stub nose. Now you think a 38 stub nose, I think there were six rounds in it. And he actually scared off four guys with automatic weapons and saved a lot of lives. And these things happen all the time, where people using guns to save their lives. So you tell an incredible story about, you're going around the colleges, you're going around the speaking tour, and most Americans, especially young Americans, have never heard of this, never heard of your experience. So what are your fears right now? Now, a lot of people that come from communist countries settle over here. I've heard this for years, but they're seeing what they fled happening here. So could you elaborate a little bit on that?
Well, that's why I'm running for Congress. I have been a grassroots mom activist for 10 years, and I saw worst of it during the last 3 years pandemic and after Biden become president. Mm-hmm. And there are lots of similarities that they use similar terms, tactics, and weaponization of government to go after their political enemies and use identity politics to destroy America and American ideals I hold, dear to my heart. I just feel like I've been calling this American Cultural Revolution or Western Cultural Revolution. If you see what's happening in the world right now, you know, there is a certain agenda is being pushed down on all of us. On all of us, I mean individuals who just want to live in peace and, spend time to, live under freedom, have prosperity and family and faith and community. All those American ideals I see has been destroyed. And another side is regrouping, is united, getting louder and louder. And this nonstop, you know, like a mainstream media narratives on like pushing for DEI, you know, critical race theory, and basically lots of globalist agenda. And some of those globalists, you talk about World Economic Forum, United Nations, they're not elected by us. Why should they have such a big say to how to, you know, run our lives? I did not vote for them. So I feel like I'm answer God's calling to come out, to tell my stories, to sound alarm. This is very similar to what I went through. I don't want the new country left becoming the country left. That's my slogan, but lots of people don't get it. They said, oh, she's like a fear-mongering, and I don't think so. They don't understand because they never lived under that kind of totalitarian regime. But lots of immigrants are behind me. You know, once you get bit by the evil snake one time, you know what's it like. So we sound alarms, including my friend, Shivan Flea, who published her book, Mouse America. I suggest people go get her book. She and I are the two loudest voices.
No, it's Mao's America. What was the author's name again?
It's Shivan Flea. She and I both grew up in Sichuan province, but she's older than me. She actually was sent to countryside to be re-educated by peasants under Mao. And I was a little child and saw struggle sessions, identity politics, and looting, and burning, and demonized religions, and red guards, or like David Hogg today. There are red guards in training, all the leftist activists are trained to be red guards to overturn American culture. But they're used, and their life did not end well. That's why I suggest to him, Google red guards. You know they did not end well because they are used for politics, for absolute power grab, and they will do things and later regret all their lives.
Mm-hmm. What is the attitude? Now, you've been here for a number of years. You're a naturalized American citizen. But do you keep close watch, or do you keep in touch with those from the immigrant Chinese community?
Yes, and lots of them who are still, you know, like they're activated, they're doing what they can, but they're still the minority. Most of Chinese American here, sadly to tell you, they're not political, and or they're afraid to speak up. And I have my YouTube channel called Lily Tang Williams. I interviewed 22 immigrants from all the, you know, authoritarian countries. And I ran out of immigrants to come on my show. Some of them were declined when I invite them to say, well, we got to go China. We got to do business in China. We have family there. I am taking personal risks to run for office too, because I have been blackmailed and threatened by CCP people online to say, don't dare come back to China to visit your family anymore. So I have not seen my family for 9 years because I speak up this country. But I feel like this is a time every American has to be courageous. If you give the communist socialist people 1 inch, they're going to push back 10 inches. They demand more. So I feel like this is a time for everybody to make their stand.
What's interesting, back in 2019, I attended a protest of the raising of the communist flag in Boston. This wasn't the first time. The first time, I think, when I first noticed the communist flag being flown on Boston City Hall Plaza, celebrating the communist takeover of China. And I have to say that again, because people say, what? They were actually, it's a communist group in Boston. It's called the Chinese Progressive Association, which is nothing more than an arm of the Chinese Communist Party. They may be U.S. citizens. They may speak very good English. They may smile and be very friendly, but they are pro-communist or communist, working on behalf of the Chinese government. And you have people in Boston, mayors and elected officials that were there celebrating. But what's so nice that about there was more of us protesting. There were those people actually raising the flag of communist China. But there were some people that were wearing masks. And I thought, this is before the lockdown, you know, before the COVID. I thought they were Antifa. And I went up to them and I said, and they spoke English. They were actually students from Hong Kong. And they were afraid that if they were photographed, that their families could be in trouble. And I understand that there's a lot of infighting and it goes under the, you don't read about it in the newspapers, it goes or in the media, but it goes under, that's showing my age, newspapers, right? You remember when we used to read newspapers.
Right.
But the communist element and the non-communist element are infighting in many of America's Chinatowns. Now, we have one in Boston and New York and Chicago and many other big cities have Chinatowns. And I've noticed that a lot of the Chinese people are afraid for probably good reason. Either they have family members or even being threatened. And I like the Falun Gong. I'm not, they're into a meditation and I'm not quite there. I'm sympathetic to their cause, even though I don't necessarily get into their, you know, their philosophy. But the fact is they're anti-communist and they've taken a stand. And I first met these people in Boston Common, where they were showing what happens to their practitioners in communist China. They're imprisoned. Their organs are harvested. I mean, their people are like, they're like used as animals. You know, they're actually taking their body parts and selling them in the world market. And of course, torture and brutal treatment. And all they really do is, it's not like they're trying to overthrow the government. They just say, leave the Communist Party. You can't be a member of the Communist Party and be a Falun Gong practitioner. It's incompatible. But at the same time, they're no direct threat. They're not trying to overtake. But the fact is, you either are completely on board or you are an enemy of the Communist Party.
Well, in China, there is no freedom of religion. When Falun Gong practitioner in the 90s, was very popular. You practice meditation, it's good for your health. Lots of Communist Party officials practice it until Jiang Zemin saw this massive peaceful protesting, like a meditation, in front of the Chinese, Communist officials' residential building, asked them to release one of their members who was a Falun Gong members. And they saw that as a threat. So Jiang Zemin, that time China's president, banned this religion and accused them to be a cult, and
yeah.
It's illegal. So they started to crack down that, and lots of people fled all over the country and to avoid that persecution. I have some friends who are practicing that. I'm aware the crime against humanity, that there's still lots of people in the political prison in today's China. That's why some Western countries ban their medical tourists from going to China for organs, because those are not donated organs. Chinese normally don't do that. Those are the organs harvested from political prisoners.
And it's interesting too. I've been told that even in this country, that some of the Falun Gong people have been assaulted. I don't know about being murdered, possibly being outright murdered, but being assaulted by Chinese Communist Party officials. And I have to say that newspaper they put out, the Epoch Times, has come a long way, because I used to see it back in the 2007 or 8. And even though it was anti-communist, it was more of a liberal slant. But it's come a long way since then. It's a really solid, conservative, pro-freedom newspaper.
Well, I have been warning about CCP infiltration into our country. That's why I have to be careful when I go to big blue Democrat cities like New York and Boston and the Los Angeles area. When I want to give a speech in Los Angeles, like for the June 4th Tiananmen massacre memorial, they had to hire armed security for me, because I was
really
running for Congress. There was like 500 people there, open air, They are here. And you see that when Xi Jinping visited San Francisco, and you got the two groups of Chinese got into physical fight, one pro-China, one's anti-CCP. So that tells you what is going on in America. We allow them to come here. There were like about probably 30,000 Chinese spies, operatives. Now they're coming potentially from the southern border. It's very concerning. So our China policy, when I get elected in Congress, I can offer invaluable insight and my personal knowledge and skills, experience, and to reshape our China policy.
What's interesting is that the United States has been the biggest supporter of the Communist Party USA since the revolution, even before that. And there's a book that I recommend, not just to you, but to anyone listening or watching, is a book called Again, May God Forgive Us. It was written by Robert Welch. We have copies of the book for sale on our site. And he tells about, and this book was written in the early 50s, endorsed by General Douglas MacArthur. But this book talks about how elements in our State Department did everything they could to put Mao Zedong in power. And then as years went on, it was the Nixon administration that opened up the doors. They sent George H.W. Bush as the first liaison. He wasn't considered an ambassador. And I think it was it 1972 when the United States formally recognized communist China, and Taiwan was no longer considered free China was no longer considered a China. So we recognized Red China. And that's when Mao was still in power. And I'll never forget the pictures, these pictures of Richard Nixon shaking hands with Mao Zedong. I mean, Mao was one of the biggest mass murderer in the history of mankind, definitely the 20th century. I think he killed more people than Hitler and Stalin put together. And here's a Republican. And it happened under Democrats, too. I know Bill Clinton was a big supporter of communist China. He sent them all kinds of advanced technology. And we helped, elements within our country helped create the Chinese communist monolith that we're dealing with today. And they're still harming us with the COVID. We know that COVID, whether it was a leak from the lab or it was deliberate, we know it was deliberate when the Chinese Communist Party said to they forbid flights within the country, but they had no trouble with flights outside of the country so they could spread it all over the world.
Well, that I never can forget one conservative came talk to me in Colorado, and I told my stories and what life is like under Mao. He was so touched. He came talk to me, shake my hands, apologize. He said, I'm so sorry. And the U.S. supported Mao. And, if we actually supported the Chiang Kai-shek, after the Second World War II, maybe your personal, the whole Chinese tragedy could be avoided. He was apologizing to me. I even did not know what he was talking about.
Interesting,
until
yeah.
I did more research. It's like, wow, it's truly what happened. I remember Nixon went to China. Every time when we watched the movie in the movie theater, it was show Chairman Mao and received Nixon in Beijing. I remember that in the 70s.
It must have been demoralizing, too, to see the leader of the so-called free world kowtowing to Mao Zedong. I know it had to have been very demoralizing. I remember some years ago, I was at a speech given by some witnesses to Tiananmen Square. And one of the men, he didn't speak English. He had to be translated. But he used the word running dog to describe Richard Nixon. And I guess that's one of the worst things you can call somebody in the Chinese culture is a running dog.
They like to use dog. I don't know why. When I got threatened by Beijing, like a account on X, they said the PLA grandpa is going to crush your doggy head. So that's a very Chinese way to make a threat. Running dog,
yeah,
or crush your doggy head. And so I share that. I said, I'm not going to be silenced in this country. I don't know what they do to me. I embrace our New Hampshire state motto, live free or die, and the death is not the worst evil. So I'm not going to be silenced by those people who threaten me with my head, you know.
Well, I have to commend you. We get about a little less than a minute left. I want to commend your courage and the fact that I'm glad you got some serious national media coverage, and I hope that will help your future endeavors. Where can people learn more about you? Websites, YouTube channel. And I think the background probably says it all. For those of you who are listening, if you're watching, you can see the site behind you. But if you're listening to this, where could they learn more about you?
Go to my website, lilytangwilliams.com. And under the Lily for Congress, you can see my policies, where I stand on policy issues, my events. There's a donate button on the homepage. I am a grassroots candidate. I need grassroots freedom lovers all back me. And especially this, people who saw this video, I will be speaking just like that from the floor of U.S. Congress to say our rights pre-exist the government. It's not up to debate. If you cannot say, I cannot become a tyrannical government in this country, the debate is over.
Anyway, you've been listening to Camp Constitution Radio with your host, Hal Shurtleff. And until next week, may God richly bless you. Thank you, Lily.
Thank you, Hal.